The theme of the liturgy today is really mercy, pity, and healing. As we're going to see from the first reading in Jeremiah, and then from the psalm, which celebrates Israel's return to Egypt, from the north, back to Israel. So the first reading that we're going to have is Jeremiah 31, 7 to 9. Some of you may remember when I say 31, does your mind pick up? What is it got in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34? Remember? Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Jeremiah is a beautiful chapter. So, this is the beginning of this consolation that moves into the promise of the new covenant. And so, it's what we're going to be looking at now. Thus says the Lord, shout for joy, Jacob, exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, this is God telling his people, get ready to rejoice. Get ready to praise me. I'm going to take you back from exile where you've been insulted, you've been a second-class citizen, and you've been laughed at and mocked, all because of your sins. And now I'm going to forgive you and bring you back. And so that's what this prophecy is, you see. The Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Remember Shair Yashuv, the son of Isaiah, a remnant will return. The boy bore a prophetic name. Isaiah prophesied that before the exile. And now they're coming back, the remnant. I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world with the blind and the lame in their midst. The two most handicapped people in the world who can't see or who can't walk. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to heal them. Because our blindness and our lameness is not just in our eyes and our feet. It's in our soul and our spirit. Mothers and those with child, I'll take care of them. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble, for I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. So this is this. Can you see? Sin has its own intrinsic consequence, right? Suffering, evil, separation from God. Who can repair this? Only God. So this bringing back from the exile was a mighty work of God, a little foreshadowing of the mighty work of God. The act of love in which the Son of God made man dies on the cross. In this act of love, and brings back the whole human race from exile, and pours out his spirit, as we're going to see, you see? And so, that is the purpose of this prophecy. And so, it's, as I just said, you know, it begins with all these words. See, thus says the Lord to Jacob, right? Rejoice, Jacob. Shout for joy. Exult at the head of the nations. You're the leader. What do you mean leader, Lord? Look at it. We're made fools of. We're in exile. We don't even hardly know the language. We can only get medial jobs. We're just here as exiles. And God says, you're going to be the chief of the nations. You see his love? It's much greater than his punishment. Much greater. In fact, it's only because of his love that we can take the punishment and recover from it to something greater. That's his love. And so this is his promise. Now, in the promise are these healings. You just heard about them, right? I will gather the blind and the lame, mothers with child. You see, they shall all come back. They'll all be taken care of. So who can be afraid of God? Does he punish us? Yes, because he's just, but he's much more than just, right? Absolutely. Remember that in the biblical understanding of justice, you know, tzedek or tzedakah, justice, it means honoring the truth of every relationship. So what is the truth of the relationship between God and ourselves? He's our creator. We wouldn't even exist if he weren't for us. And so he has mercy on his creation. But more than that, we who believe in him are his children. And he will bring us back from any exile. So here's Jeremiah, who has suffered so much, and he is the figure of Christ, really. The man who wrote those songs about the suffering servant had Jeremiah in mind as the one who prophesies by his life the suffering servant. And so, see, they departed in tears, of course, you know, being mocked, driven like cattle, off into exile, hundreds of miles away, by guys who had all the swords and all the spears, and they had nothing. And they were mocked and, you know, all the way, walked all the way, probably, up to Babylon, laughing at them. You see? They departed in tears. But I will console them, and I will guide them. They're going to find their way back from Babylon to the land I promised them, because I will guide them. You think that pillar of cloud that got your people from Egypt up to the land was great? Wait till you see what I do. He guides them. But where is the guide? Jesus. He's still guiding us. He's the cloud. He's the fire in the cloud. And he guides us. And so, you see, I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. See how thoughtful God is? When I bring them back, I'm going to level out the road. They won't stumble. God doesn't have anything else to think about whether we're going to stumble on a stone. He can handle that. And pay total attention to us because he loves us so much. So, of course, the psalm that we have in response to that is Psalm 126, which is a song of bringing back. I don't have my text all printed out this week, so we'll just have to take it straight from the Bible. You see, this is it's called a song of the ascents. Now, it could mean, you see, it's a pilgrim song. They're going up to the mountain where the temple is. But it's a song of the ascents coming from wherever they are up to the land that God promised them. And that land that God promised them, what is it? It's the body of Jesus. That flesh we eat, transformed by divinity, that flesh was formed where? From that earth. Jesus is the promised land. So now they're coming back, you see? When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Wouldn't it be great if, as we're coming up to communion, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing? We're going to receive the Lord of glory, who died for us and saved us from sin and has given us an eternal life. So we're in exile in one way, as Paul says, you see, in Philippians 3. Our passport reads heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says, right? And so he, the Lord, is going to transform our bodies to be conformed to his body of glory for all eternity. That's why he tells us, don't sin, turn from sin, be reconciled to me, be reconciled to each other, turn away from sin, so I can recognize your passport. So, you see, our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongues with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. When has this ever happened before, that a conquering nation lets them all go back? Cyrus did that. All this a buzz in the whole Middle East. The Lord, that's Adonai, right? The Lord has done great things for them. And they repeat, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Can't we come back from communion singing that? I just received the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Savior of the world, so radiant and beautiful that the angels have to cover themselves when they look at him. And now he's my food. This is Mass. This is why we have these readings, to remind us, see? Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. You have to know the weather in Israel to know what that's all about. There's little streams, little rivulets they call wadis. And when the weather is dry, and it's dry most of the time, they're just ditches, like, you know, going through the desert. But when the rainy season comes, and the rain falls on the mountains, huh? The mountains are like big corrugated boxes. All the water hits those rocks and flows down and courses across the ocean, the desert, into these wadis. That's why they said, you see, like torrents in the southern desert. In Israel these days, I don't think they've solved it yet since I lived there. Those things are so powerful. They build these great big culverts so the water coming off the mountains rushes across the desert. It's supposed to get fed through these things and dumped into the Dead Sea, which is on the other side. But the water is always so powerful, and the Jerusalem Post always reports every year who won, the army engineers or the water. And every year it's the water. Just tears up the culverts and just tears right through. So they say next year it's going to be better. But that's what he's saying about our joy. It's like the torrents in the southern desert. Just rushes through. You see? Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sowing, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. Remember, my friends, this is the word of God. Whatever we're suffering, you know, if we carry it in reparation for our sins, in reparation for the sins of the world, we go forth weeping, but we will be coming into heaven rejoicing, singing, doing handstands, whatever we want. This is a solemn promise of how much he loves us. Okay.